The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, hour number two. 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, send a message. Aaron will read it. Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At Jason Braddock, J-A-Y-S-O-N. At Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show, or you can watch us on Twitch, where one person thought you were black until he saw you on the Twitch channel. But yeah, you get that a lot.
I used to, not as much lately. One guy tuned into Late Hits the other day. That was the first time I've heard it in quite some time. He said my ears, what'd he say? He tweeted, he said my ears and eyes are fighting right now because he turned into the Twitch stream.
Yeah. Couple things. If you missed the first hour, a lot of good stuff. We're all I don't want to say praying or wishing, but we're going to put crystal ball on Mexico.
Yeah.
Apparently, Stephen the weather guy said somewhere between Corpus and New Orleans. Okay, that's a pretty big area. There's a lot of our area in that. So if it's going to come down to that, sorry, New Orleans.
Yeah, it's going.
We'll miss you.
You're going to have to take this one for the team. New Orleans, listen.
I know.
We were there for you for Katrina. We need you to suck it up and take crystal.
Yeah, we've gotten our ass kicked twice since then.
Yeah.
It's your turn.
Yep.
Sorry. Nothing we can do.
Plus, your football team's better. And you got Zion. Yeah. So the future's looking good for you.
Yeah. That's
fair.
We don't want you destroyed or anything. We just
we just. Rather not. Yeah,
you know what? Screw it. You know what crystal ball is? Crystal ball is a Florida storm.
Okay.
That's a Florida name. Florida, your turn. Crystal ball, you take a big ass right hand turn and you go to Florida.
It's more, if it's going to Florida though, and if we're basing this location on name, crystal ball seems more like a Boca Raton, Florida.
I don't care where in Florida.
Just
you're right.
Florida.
He doesn't sound like a Destin guy.
Right. Right.
Yeah. That's.
This isn't Tampa or Orlando.
Say, it'll wash away all the Rona from New Orleans. Because that was one of the big spikes and outbreak.
Well, I thought everybody was in Florida was the biggest fuss at the beginning of this. That everybody was still hitting the beaches and all of that, right?
No, but the big outbreak was in New Orleans
okay.
Because of
Mardi Gras. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that was one of the first places. That's why they couldn't cross the border. And I think that, Sean Payton was the problem. Sean Payton went to New York. Sean Payton went to Mardi Gras. Sean Payton goes to Oaklawn Park and spread the Rona all over the place. Sean Payton is the devil.
Well,
love him as a coach, but, you know.
Shame.
He's patient zero.
Sean Payton, he likes the ladies. Similar with Sean McVay as well out there in L.A. Like, they really like the ladies.
Who doesn't?
No,
who doesn't like ladies? Come on, Braddock. You know, if I were handsome like that and famous and had money, I'd be right there with him on the same party bus.
All right. So if you're single,
I would be on an Epstein island where they all had to be the right age.
All right, give me an honest answer, not what you got to say on radio. If you were let's take you back. You're 25, but you're living here in 2020 during this coronavirus. Are you staying in the house for 2 months?
I'd import.
Import, okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's
yeah.
How you would work around it?
Yeah.
Are you sure this product hasn't been heavily imported during the coronavirus, or you're
who cares?
Fine with it? You don't
who
care?
Who cares? Yeah, I mean, okay. What does that matter? That doesn't mean a damn thing to me.
Okay.
You know, turn the lights off and go.
There you go.
That doesn't bother me.
That didn't work out on the Tinder date that I heard here recently, right?
Well, I don't know anything about that, so... couple things that apparently 60,000 people downtown for this, and so far no problems. So good on you, Houston. Keep it up.
Yeah, it's awesome. Awesome to see Bun B's involved, Trader Truth, a lot of the usual that we see out there involved in the community.
And it's good that they're doing it.
Yeah.
And apparently they're finding like all these bricks and stuff that people are leaving out, and they're having to get rid of them. What the hell's going on with that?
They're leaving out bricks? Bricks of weed?
No, bricks, so that people can throw them through windows and crap.
Oh. That's not as
good. I don't know who's running around doing that stuff, but
can we substitute that with bricks of weed? I think it would have a much more positive.
You want to do something positive instead of leaving that out? Go leave a bunch of bottled water out for the people who are doing this. Now
that would be a great marketing employ as well. Put your own little label on it.
Yeah, Falcon Water.
There it
is. I like it. Well, I'll go buy a bunch of Dasani and peel the label
off for $3 a piece.
Yeah, no, I'd be going out there giving it to them. Hey, man, here, try Falcon Water. Try Falcon Water.
Nice.
And then I'd put something addictive in it, and then I would be rich. Because
just sprinkle a little crack on it. Yeah. Sprinkle a little crack on them.
Yeah, maybe a little acid. So
put some Tussin in it.
Oh, hey,
you got to go Houston, so put a little lean in it. But, I mean, we'll have some purple tint. So
It's Houston.
Okay.
It's going to make sense.
Just tell us just the
water. But anyway, no problems, and good on you guys, and hopefully that continues. But I have a kind of spinoff question from this. Apparently, we don't care that the Rona's still out there, and we're going to let 60,000 people in one place. Why don't we just bring the fans back at this point? If this is, I get that this one thing's more important than the other, but if it's okay to have several days of thousands of people in one small group, why are we even bothering stopping everything else at this point?
I think what you're saying makes a lot of sense, but the mayors and the people in these cities, they can't say that right now. They can't say, hey, we've got this pandemic, y'all out here in numbers of 60,000 on top of each other. We can't do that. But they can't come out there and say it. But what you're saying makes a ton of sense. If people are going to just flock together and be around each other, and like I said, I understand the situation.
Well, no, they're completely different situations, sure. And I don't want to equate them.
Right.
But at this point, if we're not going to do it at all, and we're going to pick and choose what we do it for, because it's not just this, it's church, it's everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we still bothering with this? And I was...
You might as well add the influx of income back into the community.
Wear your masks, go out in public with a mask on. For those of you who don't, then okay, fine, whatever. But at this stage, why are we still worried about it? I mean, I think if we're going to open things back up, let's go the whole way and just deal with it. Somebody says people are leaving pallets of bricks out in mini cities to incite riots. Really?
Yeah. Life is becoming a lot like V for Vendetta.
I never watched it. Explain.
Oh, dude.
Oh, go watch it tonight.
Yeah, we can't explain
you're getting off of here at 7. You
V
don't
for
have a
Vendetta?
Show
is that
v
good?
V for Vendetta.
Oh, God,
oh, it's
yeah.
One of the best
Every time
movies
I,
ever.
Was the trailer and, weak, no, though? Actually, did the trailer not show enough? Because I watched the trailer a bunch of times and it never sold me.
I never saw a trailer for
okay.
it.
Okay.
Do this, but don't get high before you do it, because then you'll all of a sudden all your mind will warp it, and you'll all of a sudden think that it actually is real life. But if you watch it sober, it'll start to scare the crap out of you about this year.
I'll make you two promises. One, I'll watch it. Second one, I will not be sober. I'm sorry. I just can't.
If you end up in a mental institution because it just completely ruined you, that's not my problem.
The best part? Bald Natalie Portman.
Mm.
Yeah. No, that movie's... you notice the one mask I have is V for Vendetta, that my one mask to rule them all, of all the masks I got.
Is it really that good?
God, yes.
Is there anything you can compare it to?
Well, it was a graphic novel originally.
Okay.
But it also delves into some scary politics that... Not going to mention any names, but if you're watching our politicians now, some of what was going on then, very similar.
How old is this movie?
It's going to be 20 years old now, right?
Oh, it's that old?
Yeah. It's, I mean...
2005, 15 years.
Oh, wow.
Jeez.
It's a must watch. Okay. You need to put that on your watch list right now, but you'll also see it and realize, holy bleep, this could be my country in 2 years. England prevails! Yeah.
I'm going to check this out. Yeah, no, I'm sure that's a line from that I'll catch on to later. I'll be probably about 3 o'clock in the morning. I'll be like, got it.
I guarantee you, you're going to freaking love it. I love that movie to this day. It's one of those I'll watch anytime it's on. 936, cities are not stopping the riots so they can blame the second wave of COVID on the riots and not opening up too soon. There's your conspiracy theory.
No, there's a lot of conspiracy theories that's going on out there now. But no, I just don't. I mean, imagine that you have a white public figure in one of these cities that comes out and say, hey, listen, we're dealing with COVID. I understand you want to. That is going to just get ripped to shreds. Like right now.
Well, all you can do is, if you're a leader, just tell people, hey, we understand you're upset. We understand you're going to protest. Do your best to wear masks and social distance. I mean, you're going to be in a big crowd. At least wear masks. And if you're coughing or something, stay away from people. That's about all you can do. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, issuing that statement, I don't think it's going to change. I mean, you're right in issuing it, try to get the right protection and everything. But to your point, what I like is that if you're going to, if we're going to already be in mass numbers now, 60,000 people are getting ready to go back to their jobs, their houses, their family and everything else and be around those people in the center of Houston and go back out to every part of Houston. And if there is anyone in that pile or in that pack or anybody out there that is infected with COVID, we could see another wave from come. So if we're going to do this, you might as well fire back up the economy and allow them to be in the stands as fans as well, even if it's 25 or 50% as they discussed.
No, I think, and 936, I know you were joking that I was trying to riff off it a little bit. The problem is, I think even if you say, all right, people can go back to games, it's still going to be 25 to 50% whether you enforce that or not. I don't think everybody's going back. Not everybody can afford to. No, a lot of people with season tickets that can't afford them right now. They're out of work.
But in a city of 7 million, roughly, and you see 60,000 people are comfortable to go get in the big pack around each other like that here in Houston.
Over something important. I got to tell you.
No, I completely understand. Yeah. This is of the utmost importance. I'm not downgrading that, but I'm still saying you're willing to go out there in that environment during a global pandemic and take that on. So I would have to, I mean, if you're talking about selling out a football stadium, NRG's what, 70,000?
Yeah, well, here's the difference. We're talking about 60,000 people who are going for a cause that aren't spending $500 to get into the place.
Fair point.
Another 200 for concessions. I don't think anybody in sports gets how screwed up the economy is right now and how a lot of people who devote a lot of their income to go into these events can't afford it right now.
And that's why I think Major League Baseball, we get tied up so many times. It's the billionaires against the millionaires when we talk about owners versus players. But when most of the population is going through this, the reason for the players, the reason for the owners is going to fall on deaf ears because, like you said, the unemployment is that unsubstantial, like numbers, highest numbers we've seen in quite some time. The economy is falling, and you're hearing players talking about, listen, I want to be paid what I'm worth and all this. Why, and you're talking millions, why other people can't even feed their family.
Well, and that's, I just want people to be understanding of that right now and not argue about money publicly and, oh, we deserve this and we deserve this. When there's a lot of people, not just people who are out of work, a lot of us took salary cuts. A lot of us have sacrificed a big chunk of our income because we had to so that our companies could go.
Lamont says Houston can't get 60,000 in a stadium with a strong economy.
Yeah, that's... Well, they'll get in there eventually, but most of the time they're sitting back in the bar because it's more interesting and half the people don't care about the games.
You're absolutely right.
But, all right, let's take a quick break. There's a little news that we need to get to, And Braddock's just chomping at the bit to get to some football. I can tell, like, that whole side of the table has, like, gone up 3 inches in the last 15 minutes because he knows there's football coming. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. I've made mistakes with the things
I take, but the summer. You're listening to the Blitz. On ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Jason says, Fred, don't forget a lot of people haven't have more money than they ever had on unemployment with the $600 a week bonus if they're getting paid more than I am working a full-time job. I don't dispute that there's people out there like that, but I don't think it's a lot. I mean, I think there's a lot more people who are getting that who wouldn't survive otherwise.
Yeah, I would say that's the minority of people as far as how many people are benefiting from unemployment over their jobs.
I wouldn't dispute that there are people that are probably better off, but I don't think it's nearly as big a number as people want it to be. And 35 people on the Twitch today. I hadn't checked to see how many we've had lately. I know it's been down since the Rona started. And somebody said our restaurant's still 50% because people are still timid about going out. I see a lot of that. And I'll tell you what else scares people. And I'm not going to beat this to death. But there are a lot of people, when they go out and you see a bunch of people not wearing masks, then they just go home. I've seen people do that. Because I would say roughly, and I'm out maybe a couple, well, in the last week, I guess, Thursday night, we went out to a steak night. And then Saturday, we went out with a bunch of friends at the bar. 10% of the people were wearing masks.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, you can't wear it the whole time while you're eating and drinking. So I like wear mine in to order the drinks, go outside, and then take it off to eat and have my drinks as long as I'm not around a bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
Seems pretty simple. But there's a lot of people who won't go out because of that. And I get it. I'm not that paranoid. I mean, I feel like, listen, at this stage, if a twisted ball isn't going to kill me, if all the crap I put in my body over the years isn't going to kill me, I ain't too worried about the Rona.
Well, that's interesting that you mention it, because me and P. Creighton's talked a lot about how we both feel that we probably had this, you know, already. We probably had the Corona. And if you remember when the NBA first started coming back with their comeback plan to action, they talked about how all the kits and how they tested all their players, teams, execs, everything. And all the people that came back positive, 70% of them were asymptomatic. So if, and I know that's a small scale when we think about the entire nation, but let's say that number holds true or even close to it. I think a lot of the population's probably already had this, and we just don't even know it.
Yeah, especially since they're saying it might have been here as early as November of last year. And guess what? We probably brought it back with us from Europe, because I was sick when we got back from England for a couple of days.
So was Fred.
Oh, I don't know if it was me, but
no, I think we just figured it out.
No, Sean Payton was the real problem.
He was
so
the one.
Yeah, and that's the other thing is I think a lot of us have already had it, and you look at the percentage, and I don't want to diminish the fact that there are people dying, but the huge percentage of them are coming from clusters in nursing homes where, you know what, I hate to say this, but that's what old people do. They die. It's going to happen. And you put a bunch of at-risk people in one place. It's just, and it's not to say it's not bad, but 504 said, I just came from the protest. Most of the people wore masks, and there were lots of groups giving masks away. That's cool. Because what I saw on TV was a lot of people wearing masks. And mm-hmm. If you're going to do that, that's at least, I mean, that's a pretty small precaution to take to help other people, not yourself. I mean, if you're going to get it, you're going to get it. But less of a chance of you coughing it on somebody.
Yeah, I went out and played poker for the first time last night. I was telling you this before the show. First time I played live poker in a while. Thought I was going to wait another week or two, but the bug finally started biting me. Last night on the way home, stopped by Texas Card House, played, and they had just changed their policy, I think this week, on players having to wear masks. For going up into this span, you know, all the people that work there, employees and players, had to wear masks. They lifted that. So all the employees at Texas Card House are having to wear the mask, but the players don't anymore. And when I was there, I left about 2 o'clock this morning. They're 8-handed instead of 10-handed on the cash game. And there's 4 guys at another table. So there's about 12 of us in there, and all the players, there's 2 with mask on.
Yeah. I don't know when I'm going to be wanting to go do that, because I've kind of been getting my fix, although I do feel like the online thing we've been doing, it's about time for me to shut that down as these card houses reopen, because obviously we want people to go there,
right?
For the ones who advertise with us. And I'll probably do that pretty soon. I'm just waiting to see which one wants to step up and sponsor the Blitz. And when they do, I'll show up. How about that? You want to get me in your room? That's a way to do it.
That is the way to do it.
And
I'll come out there and play against you, Fred. Yeah, the Jerry Bowe thing on Poker Bros has been really cool, man. It's a weird mix, though, because you start to play with all the people on there. You start to like them all, and you don't want to give them your money, but you feel bad when you take a big hand from them. But it's a really cool atmosphere.
Yeah, it's good. It's good people, and it's given me a chance to kind of get back. I kind of feel like my game's at a pretty good level again.
You've been killing it on there.
But I also am at a point where I'm not saying I'm getting bored with it, but I want to get back into a real game, kind of a real tournament kind of thing. That
which one are you missing most, cash or tourney?
I'm tourney because this is the time of year where I was supposed to be going to Vegas to play a couple of WSOP events. So yeah, but I'll probably hang around for another week or so on this, and then shut it down for a little while.
What interests you more when you play in those WSOP tourneys out there? Is it the money or the bracelets? Because the bracelet just seems like it'd be pretty cool. Just something to just always have.
Both. I mean,
you said I'm not turning down the money.
No, honestly, yeah, it's a dream of mine to win a bracelet in one of those events. I feel like I have a run in me where I don't think it's impossible. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's likely, but it's not impossible. I'm capable of playing at that level, and if I do and get a little bit of luck to go my way, I feel like I could do that depending on the event. I probably should pick my spots a little bit differently. I think playing the senior event was perfect for me. I probably should have played 7-card stud last year, too, because that's a game that I do really well at, and there's fewer players, and you have a better opportunity for a bracelet.
Never played 7-card stud.
That's what I got started with.
Really?
But the money doesn't suck. The right tournament.
Yeah. And you don't like PLO, right? It's too much like bingo for you?
I just haven't gotten into PLO. I've invested too much time and money into getting effective at Hold'em. I know a lot of people love it. I don't. I've tried it. I did win one PLO tournament on PokerStars before they shut down PokerStars. Mm-hmm. And it was a fluke. I had no business winning the tournament because it was like a $100 buy-in. And I played it because I was like, all right, I'm going to try this. And I got lucky like hand after hand after hand. I was almost embarrassed. It was just a total luck box thing. And I realized, this game's not for me. And I've tried it. I've tried it live. I've tried the round of each. And I know a lot of people love it, but I can play Hold'em forever. I don't need another game. I really don't.
Yeah, PLO, you have to have, especially if you're playing cash in PLO, you have to have a healthy chip stack. And that's the only thing I don't like playing cash. I usually go out there with about 200. You got guys with about $1,000, $2,000 in front of them, man. Pot, pot, pot. You know what I mean? So you can get like a couple $100 in the pot, and the pots just get so ridiculous before pre-flop. And then by the time you actually make it down to the river, man, I've seen it's nothing just on a little regular 1-3 PLO game at Texas Card House for there to be $6,000 in the pot.
Yeah, it's not so much the money. It's the game itself. I don't have a good feel for it. Mm-hmm. I don't understand it, and I don't have an edge. And to me, to get to where I could be competitive at it is way too much of an investment that I'm willing to make at this point, both in terms of money and time, when I've already got a game that I'm completely comfortable with, that I feel like I can tweak and refine. I feel like at this point, it's like a golfer working on his swing. You know, I'm tweaking my swing. It for PLO, I'm taking golf lessons. And I don't want to go through that. I just want to go to the range and hit balls and work on my draw, work on my slice, work on things like that. That's where I feel like I am with Hold'em.
Keep perfecting it.
Yeah.
Now the 7-card stud, is that more of nostalgia or is it just a game you just love?
It's a game that it's a little of both. When I first started playing poker in 1994, Sam Houston Race Park, there was games going on in the suites. Mm-hmm. We played 7-stud.
Really?
And
when was this?
94.
Okay.
And there were also some gentlemen I would call scoundrels in those games. Maybe not the most honest games.
Really?
Yeah. These southern gentlemen,
It would basically say, don't play against me, young man, and I'll make sure you leave the evening with money.
But I learned the game there, and actually the first tournament I ever won in Vegas was a seven-card stud tournament. And just I always liked that game, and I like being able to see all the cards because you can calculate your odds a lot better, and it's just, you know, it's a solid game. But Hold'em, obviously, not all that dissimilar, really, in terms of conceptually. It's just I love Hold'em. It's, to me, it's the greatest game. It's the best test. And, you know, yeah, it'd be fun to play the only reason, true confession time, the only reason I'd play seven-card stud WSOP event is because there'd probably only be about 100 players, and I like my chances of getting a bracelet better.
Nice.
So that's why.
I'd have to put an asterisk on your bracelet.
Yeah, you can kiss my asterisks. All right, let's take a quick break. But first, you know, everybody commenting on the hair today. And, guys, I got to tell you, it's growing in great. It's really cool, man. I look in the mirror in the morning, like, man, I got hair. This doesn't suck. And it's all thanks to Dr. Linville. And, listen, I looked in so many things. There were so many people that talked to me about, hey, we want to do this hair thing with you. And one of them was hair plugs. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. And one of them was, like, cloning my hair and creating a wig. It was all kinds of stuff that just made no sense. I'm like, nah, I'm just going to shave it and go bald. Met Dr. Linville after 5 minutes after he explained the process. He's like, look, the hair is always going to grow on the back of your head. We're just going to remove those hairs and put them where you're bald. And it's that simple. And they moved 2,451 hair follicles for me. And once it started growing out, I'm like, holy bleep. They can do the same thing for you. It's 975hair.com. Set up your consultation. He's back in business. You can do it virtually. You can do it in person. He just wants to help people like you, me, and even himself. He's had it done, and when you see his hair, you'll be like, oh, wow, it works. And it does, trust me. Get your consultation today, 975hair.com.
No, I'm not regular. No, I'm not regular, ooh. No, I'm not regular. No, I'm not regular, ooh. We're no regular, ooh. We're no regular, ooh. We're no regular, ooh. We're no...
More talk, less commercials. Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
We are here for you. La, 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 la.
Behold the king. The king of kings. On your knees, dog.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. And that music usually means Jerome Solomon, but we're waiting on him to reconnect. So basically, this is like him using his regular phone. Nothing.
Essentially.
Yeah. So we'll get him here in a minute. And we'll, I promise you, we'll get to some NFL stuff with Jason. He had a bunch of stuff he highlighted that he wanted to get to, and we haven't done a damn thing.
It's fine, man. It's the same way we do our show. We'll have, 200 things and get to, like, three.
Well, yeah, and that's, if you get, I always tell people, if I get the 10% of the things on here, then it's been a crappy show.
Right.
Because then you're just like, okay, that didn't work. Let me try this. Okay, that didn't work. Let me try this. So, yeah. But, I noticed you jumped back in on the poker after listening to me and Jerry on Friday.
Oh, yeah, the bug bit me. I took 2 weeks off of Poker Bros. It really pissed me off. It pissed me off pretty bad that I played and I lost five straight hands where I was ahead, and I kept trying to bet them off the pot because I knew I had the best hand. And all four of the five times, not all five, four of the five times, they kept chasing, and got the card they need on the river. And a couple times, it's a two out, four out, six out. I mean, just it just happened too. And I'm like, all right, I'm taking a 2 week break. I took a 2 week break.
And that's always a good thing. I'm a little concerned. I think I'm going to take a break now, but I've also got some projects that I'm about to start working on. And if I get into those, I'm not, that break's going to last 6 months. So. We'll see. I guess,
like a 6 month poker break. Like you're not
gonna... at least, yeah, probably not until I get back to Vegas because I'm going to be, like I said, I've got some things that are going to take a significant amount of time that are maybe happening here in the next few weeks. So just that's not trying to be coy. I just can't talk about it yet.
Now, while we're waiting for Jerome, during the break, I saw the picture that was tweeted out of Deshaun Watson there at the George Floyd March downtown. We talked about 60,000 people there. Deshaun does have a mask on, but it is pulled down, showing the face and everything. If one of these stars, because we've heard about Jaylen Brown going down to Atlanta, getting in the protest, and a lot of athletes are getting involved. What's the message that's going to come out if one of these players, say, knock on wood, say a Deshaun Watson comes up testing positive after this march?
I think it's going to be a big deal. I mean, if he does, he's Deshaun Watson. The guy's in great shape. He's going to have a cough.
Fair enough.
So that's the thing. Now, if he gives it to somebody older that's at risk, then that's different. All right, let's go to my man, Jerome Solomon. You can follow him on Twitter at Jerome Solomon. You can hear him here on Sunday mornings. You can watch him on Channel 2. You can read him in the Chronicle. What's happening, Mr. Solomon?
Oh, I'm alive, gentlemen. That's a good thing.
Yeah? No Rona?
No Rona. No knee on the neck.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well,
just make it a day to day.
It's funny how we don't even talk about the Rona anymore, right?
the Rona is taking a back seat to America. This is America, as they say. I do get the sense that Rona will come back with a vengeance and go, "Hey, y'all forgot about me up over here." But I really have. I mean, people are out and about as if that never happened, you know. But clearly, those are. They're so different in what we're dealing with, but they're all part of a system that has allowed that to happen and allows black men to get killed by police on the regular. And people can argue all they want about, oh, well, it don't happen that often. Well, it ain't about how often it happens. It's about how it happens and more importantly, what happens to the people that do it. And throughout history, police have been able to do what they want to black people in America and get away with it. This is nothing new, and this guy hadn't gotten away with it yet, but don't be surprised if he does, because that's just the standard. I've been talking to people the last few days about, and so many youngsters around don't know names of these cases. I'm like, look up Ida Delaney and what happened to her and the people who killed her. Look up Jose Campos Torres and what those monsters, those animals did to him and the punishment they got. 1 year probation and a dollar fine. Look up the guy that killed Byron Gillum, the guy who had killed three other black people along the way as a police officer, and what happened to him. Oh, he lost his job. It's always been that way. And things are so much better than they used to be. I'm a little riled up because of this march today that seems really significant in Houston's history. But I was on the streets marching 30 years ago for a couple of those names you heard mentioned. And HPD changed dramatically since then. I mean, it's a whole different department. But America is still America. And, you know, and it's frustrating that we still have to have these same discussions, same talk now that we had way back then. And back then, back in the day, it used to be they kill them, they get away with it. Then it progressed from, well, they kill them, and they eventually get around to indicting some of them. But then they get the all-white jury and get off. Well, we keep taking these baby steps, and boy, these baby steps take a long time.
Yeah, it's funny because I know you've been protesting things like this for years, since before I knew you. And people forget HPD was notorious for years. It was before, obviously, we had social media and things like that. And they've done a really good job trying to clean it up. But HPD in the 70s, it was scary if you got pulled over.
Oh, it's scary is not even a word. And they knew it. And they knew they could get away with it. And, I mean, I think Texas Monthly, I believe once Texas Monthly did a story on the biggest street gang in Texas was the Houston Police Department, you know, and the Jose Campos Torres story. And I was surprised. I was talking, you know, Game Day OJ, you know, Rachel, who's on Houston Sports Show Radio on Sunday mornings, she wasn't familiar with it. Barry Laminack, he didn't know anything about that case. And it wasn't that far. It wasn't that long ago. We're talking 1977. They used to have a spot, HBD, where they took you to beat you up. Mm. You know, so they took him there. They arrested him for, you know, disorderly conduct. He was drunk at a bar. Whoop-de-darn-do. The Vietnam veteran having a few drinks at a bar, being a little rowdy. They arrested him. They take you there to beat you up because that's what they did. Took him to jail. And the jail was like, dude, y'all beat him up too bad tonight. We can't take him in here. You know, y'all got to take him to the hospital. Well, instead of taking him to the hospital, they took him back to the spot, beat him some more, and pushed him into Buffalo Bayou because they wanted to see if a wetback could swim. And, of course, he drowned and died. And if it hadn't been a rookie police officer who was there with him, who was like, wait a minute, dude, I don't participate in this, those guys would have gotten totally away with it. Instead, they got 1 year probation and a dollar fine.
Yeah, it's funny. Hey, we were talking about this. There's people don't remember what happened in the wake of Rodney King. And that wasn't that long ago.
No, it wasn't. And the Rodney King thing really wasn't, it wasn't nearly as big a deal to black people as it was to white people, because white people just didn't believe all the stories. And we were like, dude, all he did was got a beating. I mean, that ain't nothing. We see that every day. But this time it was on video. And there were no riots when Rodney King got beat.
No, it was when those guys got off.
When
yeah,
they got off.
Yeah.
Right. That's how crazy it was. Like, believe me, I know people sound like I'm saying nothing ever changed. You don't get anywhere. No, things have changed a lot. Like I say, all of this now is happening, and the people hadn't gotten off. The main culprit has been charged and arrested. The other three should be in jail or at least have gone to jail and bailed themselves out for something. But that's a symbol or, you know, an indication of how things have changed. Because trust me, had they done this 40 years ago, most of us wouldn't even know anything about it. You know, we wouldn't at all. I mean, and that's just the world has changed, and the world is a hell of a lot better than it used to be. But we know it's got a long way to go, because you can see some of the people they're not even just taking this out of context. I'm just one of those people who believe if you're down with something, you're down with it. So if you're against the police killing George Floyd in the way that they did, you would never say, well, I would have been until I saw you know, somebody breaking the Target in downtown Minneapolis. Now, all of a sudden, I don't care that they killed George Floyd. Really? You know, really? Does that change your opinion of what actually happened? Is that more important to you? And you can tell who really is about equal rights and who is about justice in how they react to all of these things going on. And I know it's a sports show, and we get that same thing in sports. You can tell what people mean by what they say in situations such as this, and some people are outing themselves quite a bit right now.
Jerome, it's always darkest before the dawn, and Jason Braddock here. It's great to talk with you again. But now in this day where people are so much, so many people are out of work, social media, everybody can voice their opinion, get out there. And there's just so much more of attention with all these different new variables inserted. And we're seeing this go on throughout the country. And you mentioned back then Rodney King was so rare to get it on video. Well, now you've got this all on video and people can see. It's not people telling you stories. You're actually seeing with your own eyes. Do we finally see that all of this happens and there's actually some change in good? And like you mentioned, things have changed, but it's been sporadically and not at the pace we'd like to see.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's easier for someone like me, and it's much easier for an older generation to go, oh, this ain't gonna change, because we were fighting this back in the day. You know? I saw at the Houston March, you guys have been on the air. You probably came on right a little after he spoke, but you may not have seen it. But Reverend Bill Lawson spoke at the one today, that's just ending or wrapping up now. You know, he's 93 years old. Mm. And he's like, he's been to a few of these. You know, a lot of these over the years. So this is nothing new to him. And one of the things he said was, hopefully this one here isn't just a parade that ends, you know, that it leads to some significant change. And that's what I mean. You're talking about somebody who's still asking and looking for change. And as much as things change, it's much easier for me and people like him to go, yeah, you know, we hope these youngsters can pull it off, because we weren't able to. And I'm with the youngsters who are being riled up and excited about trying to make it happen. That I like it that they believe. I hope they're right. You know what I mean? I'm real skeptical because, you can't change, you can't, you know, legislate people's hearts, but you can damn sure punish their actions. And that's all we're looking for. And I will say, you look at the crowds that are out there now, you got a lot more people who will be on juries than you used to.
Right.
You know, you look at the marches in the 60s, the civil rights marches, the look around Martin Luther King. Yeah, there were some white people out there. There weren't people that was going to be on juries.
Yeah.
That's different now. We got people who actually will be on juries who are marching now. That's where the change will come. Forget all that vote crap. I vote. I say, yeah, register. You need to vote, but that ain't gonna change nothing.
Well, it's funny, Jerome, because most of my rant yesterday was about it. It's time for us to actually make some changes in ourselves, and let's start doing rather than watching. And you've been doing that since I've known you and before, so really appreciate your perspective on everything.
Yeah, and I think it really is. One point I definitely want to make is, and you know me, and you're the same way, Fred, and my man Jason, you are too. We hard on people. We hold people to high standards. So that's who we are because we hold ourselves to high standards. But I do want to make a point that, man, we can't nitpick everything that everybody says in these situations.
True.
Every word that they use, we can't be that nitpicky on it. And I'm not saying we shouldn't expect more from them, but damn it, everybody can't deliver. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And so it keep it in sports. Man, some people on your team can't play. There's some people are not as good as the other people on your team, but you need them there. You need them to carry the luggage. You need them to be on the bench firing it up when the other dudes are out there working hard trying to win the game. You need them all. Everybody ain't going to be Michael Jordan. You got to have Scottie Burrell down there taking some abuse.
Some Sam Montgomery's.
Yeah, right. So you can't run everybody off just because they ain't great, just because they ain't special, just because they don't have all the answers. You know what I mean? And so I think we need to back off some of these people. Now, you tell them what's wrong. You tell them where their thinking is off. You tell them how they ought to approach it or how you think they ought to approach it. But don't run them off the team. You know, don't kick them off the squad because I don't believe they're going to go play for the other squad. They ain't going to go join the Klan because you dogging them for not saying police are bad. But they ain't going to be on your team. You know what I mean? Don't run them off. Don't run them off.
As I said yesterday, discourse, not discord, man. That's where we need to be. And it needs to be an individual thing, and we need to realize that, you know, there's also police out there who are individuals who are scared right now because of the actions of somebody else. And we all need to start having these conversations and starting to understand each other better. And if we do, then maybe something will happen. But you know, I know it's got to be, especially as much as you've been seeing this over the years. To me, if 8 minutes on a guy's throat, it doesn't change things, then it's not going to change. It really isn't.
Yeah, I know. And it was one of the things that I refuse to use, and I refuse to retweet any of it that I've seen of the comparing that dude's knee to Colin Kaepernick's knee.
That ain't
no profound statement to me.
No.
This knee versus that knee. That ain't poetic, and because it ain't about the knee.
No,
it was the noose a couple hundred years ago. It was the noose in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. It was, you know, it's been the hoses, it's been the dogs, it's been the chains, it's been the pistols, it's been the shotguns, it's been everything. It ain't the knee. You know what I'm saying? It ain't about the knee. It's been this way for so long and in so many different ways that it has to be bigger than that to us. It has to be more meaningful in that it ain't even the police. I know that sounds crazy, but it ain't the police. You don't get the badge and become a dog scrap racist. You just a dog scrap racist that got a badge.
Yeah.
My brother's a policeman in Dallas. My first cousin is a police chief here. And I know they ain't racist. You know, because I kind of grew up with them. I've known them their whole lives. But so it ain't about police. It's about good police letting bad police get away with it. It's about a whole system that the system used to just downright support the police. You know, they would have Klan meetings at a Houston Police Department. The Klan members were police officers in all cities in the South. That's the way our world is operated. Now, I pretty much assume you get caught being a Klan member, you're going to have a problem coming back to work. That's progress. Ain't as much progress as we want, but that's certainly better than it used to be. You know what I'm saying?
You would remember this, but it wasn't that long ago. Wasn't there a Klan lodge in Pasadena?
Really?
Yeah. I don't think it was that long
ago. No, Fred, you were going to those meetings, man. We don't know nothing about that. Me and Jason don't know what you're talking about.
Lump us in here, right?
No, but I remember hearing about that as I was growing up, that there was still an actual lodge in Pasadena. Somebody can confirm that when that closed.
They're very much out there, and they've changed in a lot of ways too. And there's just some crazy people out there. I had a dude come to, you know, power wash my driveway a couple years ago, and he was. You know, he was a little shaky, but, you know, I don't care. You power wash it for $50. I'm getting a bargain. But in the conversation, you know, I found out he was a member of a militia, you know, and he was talking about, you know, what he'd do to Hillary Clinton and all that. I was like, dude, you kind of out there. But they walk among us. You know, they are among us. We just got to keep our eye out for them. That's for sure.
To this
keep
day.
Them off of juries. Keep them off of police departments. Don't give them darn badges. Now send them to war because we're trying to win a war. I don't care. I don't care who you with. We need you over there because you're crazy and you're a killer. I just don't need you killing none of my folk.
Nice. To this day, my wife still remembers when she was 5 years old going through Vidor, Texas with her mom. And just seeing the KKK openly walk down the street, it still freaks out to this day. And when she was 7 years old, she remembers two grown white men in a truck just calling her the N-word. You know, just as a 7-year-old little girl walking down the street by herself. So, I mean, that tells you 30-some years later, it still resonates. And I thought about that because I saw your former colleague, Jenny Dial Creech, have an article with The Athletic where people were reflecting on racism they lived through. And I think people need to hear that stuff because you just, I mean, a 7-year-old girl walking and just two men just to share their hate.
Well, and
go ahead, Fred.
No, go ahead, Jerome, because I got one more point to tack on when you're done.
Yeah, it's so easy for people who haven't dealt with it to say get over it and say just live with it. And trust me, that's what infuriates black people specifically so much when we're told to get over it. Because damn it, we have gotten over it.
Mm-hmm.
If we threw a pitch to fit over every time we came across racism or thought we came across it, that's all we'd be doing. So we try to pick and choose, which is a damn shame. But get over it. How am I supposed to tell my daughters when they're 8, 9 years old and they're at a park playing around on some monkey bars or something and some white kids say, you niggas need to get out of here. Mm. What am I supposed to tell them to get over it?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, what am I supposed to say other than, damn, I wish I'd been there because it would have been a problem. You know what I mean? And that's the one I'm going to try to get over. Because I tell me that. Don't bring my children into it. And that's there is no get over it, man. We're not even past getting over it. We've been getting over it. You know? We deal with it every day. But it doesn't make your life any better to just get over it. You know, to just accept it. It doesn't make your life any better. And as much as they want to say, well, it doesn't make your life any better to go around fighting everybody that calls you a nigga. Well, no, it don't. But yeah, it don't
Jerome,
hurt none either.
Jerome, we can't say that over beer.
Why can't you?
Because it's FCC regulations. It's one of the words on the list.
When did that come up?
It's come up many times, man.
No, I'm saying seriously. When did they change that?
They haven't changed. Nope. You can't. You can say it. You can't say that on any FCC thing. You can say it on ESPN, but you can't say it on anything that is covered by the FCC.
So
you also can't say that other word. You also can't say that other word you just dropped on us.
What other word?
That rhymes with spit.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it came out. It came out.
No, I'm serious. I would remember that one. I'm not even joking. I thought that word was very much usable. I've heard it on regular television, not cable.
He said not
you
cable.
Sure, I think you're wrong about that one.
Nope.
So when George Epstein and Fred Sanford said it on TV, there was a problem.
What year was that?
That's what I said. When did they change?
This has been since I've been in radio, Jerome. It's not new. My point is though.
Yeah. I got you. Yeah.
Yeah. Just it's okay. I think we can make a point without using that word. That's all.
But yeah, you can. But I wouldn't. I mean, I don't have a problem using that word to say that's what somebody said because they didn't tell my daughters. You N-word should
no,
be
I know, and
here.
I know that, but you know can, but you so can
that,
still
that,
can
that actually bothers that actually makes me want to call the FCC and say, wait a minute,
yeah. Well,
ain't nobody calling nobody that. It's just relaying a story. But I got you. But I thought you were wrong about that. And again, you can say it on TV in the 70s, but you can't say it on radio in the 2020s?
Well, come on. You got to admit, Jerome, things have changed a little bit in terms of what we can say and what we can. I can't even use the word posse anymore. Let's be real. So.
No, that's weird, though, because you used to couldn't say damn, so you've loosened up on that. But on N-word is a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And frankly, it should be. It's not a word that I would use. And not towards anyone, or not to describe anyone.
I wouldn't expect you to use it. Yeah. Well, I'd have an issue if you used it. However, we'll discuss that one another time.
Yeah, but isn't that a little bit of a problem too?
I did not know that.
Isn't that a little bit of a problem too? I mean, would you have a problem?
No, that's not a problem.
Because that's not a little bit of a problem.
That's not a problem at all.
Well, no. Because here's the thing. It's context. I would never use that word in an offensive way, so I don't have a way to use it where it's not offensive, so I won't. But no.
If you're repeating that exact story that I told, I wouldn't have a problem with it. You're saying these people said to Jerome's daughter that I wouldn't have a problem with it.
But I wouldn't say that though.
That's good on you.
But that's not
a problem. You said it was a problem that you don't get to, and I didn't
say anything about getting to because I don't want to. So don't make it sound like I want to. I'm just saying.
I don't think you want to, but you just said, isn't that a problem? And I said, no,
well,
kinda, it's not.
Well, yeah, but I think you're saying it's not a problem if I repeat the same story.
Right. Exactly.
Well, okay.
I don't think that's a problem.
But if it's a word though, that there has to be discussion about, then I think it's an issue if you use it too.
You could think that. I disagree vehemently on that. And
that's certainly fair, but
I just disagree vehemently on that because I'm not going to diminish that the use of that word in those particular contexts when that's the point that I'm making that. And so I'm not going to play around and lighten it for those people who use it in that way, because that's how I see it. I think
you can call those people out for what they are, and you can shame them for what they are without having to use it.
You can think because I understand your point, but my thing is, if I'm calling them out and or shaming them, as you just said, that it hits you harder when I use that word than if I don't.
No, it doesn't.
So if I use
no,
a
it doesn't.
Other words.
No,
well,
it doesn't at all. Because if you tell me what he called him, that pisses me off just as much because I know it. I don't need you to.
But I hear the tone in your voice because I actually used it, so I disagree with you.
No, the tone of my voice because you're going to get me in trouble with the FCC. It's got nothing to do with anything else. It's not okay to do it on radio. I'm sorry, but in general, I don't need. I've heard that word. I know what it means. I'm going to be pissed off at the people who did that, especially the kids. And I don't need your description of it. That's all. I know what it is.
I got you.
So, anyway, good stuff, though. Appreciate you, man.
Cool.
I got to get you out of here. We went way over, as usual. I blame you. But
it's always my fault.
And check him out Sunday morning on Houston Sports Show, and on you can catch him on channel 2. Let's get my man Lawyer Dave in. Dave, what's up?
Hey, man. Hey, Blitzers. How's everybody doing today? It is a wonderful day with lots of traffic. If you get crashed into and are hurt, call me, Lawyer Dave, 713-626-8900, and I'll help you out.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of people on the road today. I saw a couple accidents, and I'm obviously going to get in one, and I'm not going to be able to afford to go to the doctor. So what's going to happen?
Well, Fred, we're going to get you a doctor without any money out of your pocket up front so that you can get the care you need and get better without worrying, gosh, where's the money going to come from to see a doctor? And we'll even get you an Uber if you can't afford to drive your own car.
And you don't charge a dime for consultations, right? If you don't handle what I'm asking you about, you're going to put them with somebody who does.
Absolutely right. Anybody that wants to talk to me, Lawyer Dave, it's free. And if you've got a question about an issue that I don't know about, or it's not the kind of law I do, like Fred said, I'll send you Blitzers wherever you need to go. That's for sure.
And you're based right here in Houston, but you practice all over the state.
That's right, Fred. In fact, we had a case set in El Paso on Monday, but they're not trying cases out there either. So that got reset. Everything's being reset. It's the courts are a mess at the moment.
Well, tell them how they can get in touch with you so that when things get going again, you can make them some money.
Okay. If you want to find me on the internet, I'm lawyerdave.com. If you want to find me on Twitter, I'm lawyerdavelaw. If you want to just call me, it's 713-626-8900. Or hit me up through my friend Fred. He knows where I am pretty much 24/7.
That's right. If they need a lawyer, what do they do?
They better dial Dave.
State your correct name for the record.
ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers. KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston.